Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. It is such a pleasure to be here with Madison from University of Connecticut. One thing about Madison is she personally inspires me with how much she is able to manage and how much she is able to take on and make it look so beautifully effortless. Madison, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You are too kind.
I want to jump right in, but before we do that, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
I have a lot.
We like lots.
Yeah, I'm a third year in college. I've had a lot of really fun experiences, some not so fun experiences. But I think the one that's probably taught me the most, I'm very much a perfectionist. When things don't go my way, I usually do not take it well. And I had an experience my sophomore year of college where I was trying to organize an event since I was in the leadership team in my learning community at college. And I tried to organize this panel event that I was so excited about. I did all the marketing materials for it. I tried to pump it up as much as possible, get the word out. And we ended up having a really, really low attendance. And that was really upsetting for me since I communicated so much with industry professionals in the fashion space, different aspects of the fashion space that I had met along my journey in college. And I was super excited for them to get to talk to all these kids that were in my subsection leadership group in the BCLC. And it was really upsetting because I put so much effort into it. I tried so hard. I did so much to put it together and make it perfect. And after the event was over, after a lot of tech issues, actually, I just sat for a second with my boyfriend in the room and I cried because I was like, oh my God, like this was a disaster. Where do I even go from here? Do I try again? Like I just felt so defeated. And that experience taught me that even if something doesn't go your way, it can still have an impact. Because the few students that did show up told me after that they learned a lot. They got to network with the panelists that I invited, and it made a difference for them. So that really taught me that even if you don't have exactly the outcome you were looking for, you can still make a difference. And you just got to brush yourself off, try again, and do better.
I love that word you use, defeated, because that's such a visceral, like vivid description word. And I can imagine going to all that effort, putting all that together, I bet it felt really, really frustrating.
Yeah,
and I think, too, when you're maybe a little bit of an overachiever, I'm going to just say that you might be a little bit of an overachiever, and you put your heart and your soul and everything you have into something. And I know so many incredible students who do that, and it doesn't work out like you suspected. It's easy to think that you're the failure versus the isolated experience. How did you remind yourself in that moment going through something so vulnerable that it was not about you?
I think I tried to just tell myself that I did everything I could. Anything that I could have done, any person that I could have talked to that I thought might bring more attendance to that event, I did it. So I think after that experience, I just did remind myself that I did everything that I thought that I could. And it just so happened to not work out. But that following semester, we did another event and I partnered with another leadership group in our learning community. And it went much better. We had a lot more students in attendance. We were able to put together a really nice event that I was super proud of. So I think that it is just really important to remind yourself that if you did everything you could, then you did enough.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a shortcoming or a personal failure of yours. And that's something that I have struggled with my whole life. I struggled with it really, really bad, though, in university, because whenever something would go wrong, maybe not get the right grade or something extracurricular just wouldn't work out, I would feel like it was me, like there was something fundamentally wrong with me versus realizing that it was circumstantial.
Yeah, it's very hard to not take it personally. I'm positive that no student who heard about the event and didn't go was thinking, oh, she's the one hosting. I'm not going to go to that. So it's definitely hard to separate yourself from the experience. But
and I know you do a lot of work while you're still in university and you're building those communication and those like interpersonal professional skills. At the same time, as you go to school, you maintain an incredible GPA. You take good care of yourself. How do you do it all? Because I would like to know, how do you so beautifully and effortlessly manage all that Madison is?
Yeah, well, I can tell you firsthand, it is not always beautiful.
That's good. That's good. Right. We're getting real.
Yeah, I absolutely have days where it's really hard for me to be able to do everything at once. And I do a lot of UGC work and social media management, kind of going into that digital marketing space, since that's what my degree program is in. It's very hard to get started when you are someone that has been an overachiever. Like you mentioned, I have always been the I can do everything by myself kind of person.
Yes, I'm an island.
Yes. And I think it's very important to go into something like that, knowing you cannot do this by yourself. It's very important to have a good support system, really good friends. My boyfriend has been an amazing support system for me. My family is super, super involved in everything that I do, and they help me film or they lend their voices for me to make videos. And I think it's so important to have that group of people that you can lean on. And just vent, just talk about it. If you're getting overwhelmed, if you feel like maybe I should take a step back from this project, having another person to kind of be a sounding board for you and give you their input, since they're the ones that are with you every day. They're the people seeing what you're doing and they know the toll that it's taking on you. So I think it's really important to maintain a really, really strong support system.
In poker, they call it a tell. And you just talked about when you feel that you're getting overwhelmed. What is one of your, I'm getting overstimulated, I'm getting stressed out tells? Is it physical? Is it mental? How do you start to know that something is off? And from that space, what do you do to get yourself in a better place?
Yeah. So I have dealt with anxiety since I was about 14 is when I kind of recognized it, because I was getting really stressed over a homework assignment and I threw my binder across the room. And it occurred to me, you know, that's probably not normal. That's probably not a healthy reaction. So over the years, my strategy to calming myself down and recognizing when I am getting stressed out has changed. College has been very eye-opening for that, because I'm able to see it sooner when I start to feel really tired, when I start to feel just worn down and disinterested in what I'm doing. I'm able to clock that a little sooner.
Good. That's a big part of the battle.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But I'm able to see it coming from further away. So I know to communicate with my bosses, my people that I'm working with, people that are expecting a deliverable from me within a certain amount of time. Hey, I'm having a day. I really need to at least take this morning time to take a step back, watch some TV, drink some orange juice. I love an orange juice in the morning. And just take that time for yourself to be a little bit more grounded and just live in the moment rather than trying to catch up on all the million things that you're trying to do.
Have you always been self-aware, or has it developed?
It's definitely developed. And in early high school, it would kind of turn into panic attacks. And I would be, actually, one really good example. I was in my human anatomy class in high school, and I was sitting there, and just all of a sudden, this huge wave of anxiety and sadness and frustration came over me. And I just put my hands around my eyes, and I had a moment. I just was crying and trying to be quiet so that people wouldn't look at me, because that makes it so much worse. But just kind of having an emotional moment. And I realized that shouldn't happen. Like, I should be able to try to get ahead of that and understand that I'm doing too much. I need to take a step back and try to kind of cut it off before I get to the point where it just all has to come out and I can't hold it in anymore.
Have you struggled with people-pleasing tendencies? Because I know anxiety and people-pleasing tend to go hand in hand, and that you're putting other people, and I'm the same way, you put other people's needs ahead of your own until you break and you crumble.
I feel like I have people-pleasing tendencies exclusively with my jobs. Like, I want to make my clients happy. I want to make the people that are paying me very happy because I want them to keep paying me. And it's really difficult to have those kinds of conversations for me because I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, she's unreliable, she can't do it. So it's really hard for me in professional settings to kind of talk about when I am getting overwhelmed and I need to take a step back.
Well, that's when we jump into proving too. We're trying to prove that we're capable, that we're great, that we're smart enough. And I know for me, I started working in a professional capacity much younger than the vast majority of people. And because I was doing that, I was always trying to prove that I belonged. And I was trying to prove that I was able to handle it without issues, without consequence. And that left me feeling very severed from who I was because I took on this role of business person and talent, the things that I was doing way too early. Have you struggled with that identity crisis a little bit and being both a student and a business owner?
Yeah, 100%. I wake up some days and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm 21. I don't know anything about anything. I'm working with these people that have been doing this for 10 years. I'm working with these people that have much bigger followings than I do, way more views than I get. And it's just really hard to navigate that. But I think my best advice in that kind of space is just do it anyway, because you will never know what you can achieve unless you just try it and you go for it. I started my UGC career really at the beginning of this year, and I was taking very low paying jobs. I took several unpaid internships during my college career. I've taken a lot of kind of the lower levels of the jobs in the social media and digital marketing space. And the thing that I've learned from that is that those kinds of jobs are important. I do think that internships should be paid, but that's another conversation.
I believe the same thing.
That is another time. But it's important when you are doing those kinds of things to know that you are still learning. Even though you're doing a job and you're not kind of seeing the realization of it, or you're not getting a lot of views, or you're not getting a lot of return on what you're putting out, you're still learning what might not work. You're learning, how can I adjust this to see an increase? How can I adjust this to see more of what a client is looking for, or even just what I'm looking for? Because this is what I want to do for a living because I love it.
I want to add too, in 2023, I did a TEDx talk. And in the talk, I discussed a little bit of what Madison is talking about, in that even if you're young, you're learning, you're imperfect, you still deserve a seat at the table and to have your ideas recognized. I feel like I see that so much with these incredibly brilliant, genius, entrepreneurial, intelligent young people who don't always get the seat at the table or the respect that they deserve off, you know, kind of off the jump, you might say. And that's hard, as well as you're fighting against so many stereotypes of what it means to be from your generation.
Yeah, I mean, even in the social media space, my boyfriend will go to work and he tells people, yeah, my girlfriend works in social media. And I'm like, oh, well, why didn't you say I'm a content creator? Like, I feel like that term just fits what I do better. And he's like, babe, people are going to think that you're doing content that is not what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, that is a real generational difference. You tell someone that's in their 20s, yeah, my girlfriend's a content creator, it sounds a lot more promiscuous than it might end up being.
Yeah. And there's so much to fight against in terms of, there's so many negative stereotypes too about content, social media, the internet. Why do you love social media so much?
That was definitely a progression too. I never was a big social media person when I was in high school. I wouldn't say I'm a private person, but I just wasn't like a post every second of my life on the internet.
I'm a very private person, so you're going to teach me something here.
Yeah, I when I was with my friends, I wasn't taking a million pictures and posting them on Instagram. I was enjoying their company and I was talking and we were doing funny things and making brownies at 2 a.m. and like just doing like kid things.
Ultimate girlhood.
Yes. Yes. I was a cheerleader in high school, too. So like me and my friends would rehearse our dances that we had to do at games while we were cooking in the kitchen or making movies or whatever we were doing.
Yes.
And I think that following summer after I graduated from high school, or no, sorry, the summer before I went into my sophomore year of college, I took an internship with a company called Victory that I thought I was going to be doing brand management. And I thought it was going to be a lot more of the kind of bigger brand strategy. And I ended up doing a lot of social media work. And at the beginning, I'm thinking to myself, okay, whatever, it's one summer, I'll live. Even though this isn't really what I want to do, like this is my way into this kind of industry. But by the end of the summer, after all the video editing and the Canva design making and scheduling and all these kinds of social media things that are kind of happening in the background I was exposed to, I just fell in love with it. And I got super, super into it. I did an internship that following fall where I got to go to New York Fashion Week and get content. I was helping a lot with the social media production there. And I just got super, super obsessed with it.
If you could dispel one myth about social media, what would it be?
None of it is real. Absolutely none of it is real. Even the videos that people are seeing and they're like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this happened. It's not real.
I love that. And I love how honest you are with your answer.
Yeah. Working in social media and doing brand promotion and these kinds of things, you learn a lot about what's actually going into the content. And I've talked to a ton of different content creators from all different kind of worlds within social media. Like I have friends who are fashion and beauty creators. I have friends who are video game creators. I have friends who are like study app creators. And we all are united under the umbrella of we're doing a job. Even the people who are posting on social media just for fun, they're also doing their job. So they're giving you what they think that you're going to want to see, not necessarily what's actually happening.
They're doing brand management. Whether or not they realize it, they are managing their own brand. Mm-hmm. And there's a time for that and a place for that. And then a time and a place where reality has become very distorted.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Being in university, balancing all of this, what would you say is your number one self-care hack? Or a busy soul?
My favorite thing to do to decompress always is just sitting on the couch with my boyfriend, or I'll have my best friend over, throwing on a sitcom, eating pizza or tacos or some kind of comfort food, and just like not thinking about anything.
Turning the tacos was so after my own heart. Going to the Nothing Box. Take a travel there. It's beautiful there.
I love it. It's my favorite place in the world.
As you start to progress in your university career and what you're doing, looking ahead to maybe the upcoming months, years, what are you going to do to continue to be able to balance all of this and take excellent care of yourself?
I think it's always a process. I think it's always a process that you kind of have to teach yourself what works for you. I'm not the kind of girl that, like, my self-care is I'm going to do a face mask and I'm going to do a hair mask and I'm going to go get my nails done and do all of these things just for me. I like working. Like, I enjoy the feeling of being busy. I enjoy the feeling of, okay, I have this many things to do. I have this much time to do it. Let's just get it done. And I think that that's really the condition that I work the best in, despite the anxiety that I have. And I think that the best thing that I can do for myself and the thing that I've learned the most about myself is that it's okay for not everything to get done that day. And that's something that I've been trying to ingrain a little bit more into my own head, because I always want everything to be perfect. I check over every single graphic I make 13 times to make sure everything is spaced appropriately. I edit my videos for an hour a piece because I want to make sure that every single second is perfect. But it can't all get done in one day if it's going to be perfect.
No,
And there's a reason you're not a heart surgeon or a brain surgeon. If you need to pass a task on to the next day, nobody is going to die. And that is a very refreshing feeling. So I'm going to ask you my signature question. It's a hard one. Okay. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university age students, the pieces of advice can be about anything. What would those three pieces of advice be?
That is definitely a hard one. Three?
I know. Well, we want to get all of those beautiful nuggets of wisdom out of you.
Yeah. Actually, I have a good way that I can break this down. Since I am a junior, I've been in college for 3 years. I'll pull a piece of advice I wish someone told me going into each year. So my freshman year, I would say the best piece of advice, you are not behind. Because I was convincing myself, oh my God, I don't have any internships. Oh my God, I don't have any of these things that some of my friends who were older, for the record, had by this point in their college career. I'm not doing the same as everyone else. I'm not doing enough. You are. You're a freshman. You're supposed to be getting adjusted. You don't have to join every single club that you walk by at the involvement fair. You don't have to have an internship by the end of your first semester of college. You are doing enough, and that's okay. For my sophomore year was really when I started to do too much. So I think that my best piece of advice for sophomores is it's okay to let something go. It's okay to take a step back from a job that maybe isn't treating you very well, and you think that you just have to take it and suck it up because you're in an entry-level space. You don't. There are plenty of jobs out there. There are plenty of people out there looking to hire for certain things, or it goes for clubs too. If you're in a club and you really, really do not like the person that is running the club, start your own. Start your own. Make friends in other spaces. Go to club meetings with them. Find the space where you feel happy and comfortable, because you don't have to deal with anything you don't want to. And then for this year, we're only halfway through the year, so I really only have half of a full year to go off of. But I think the thing that I'm trying to tell myself the most for this year, it's okay to not know what's coming next. I've always been a big planner. I love to make sure that I know what's going to come next. I love watching the same movies over and over again because I know what's going to come next. And I think it's important to know that when you get to this level and your family starts asking you, so when are you guys going to get engaged? So where do you think you want to move? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? You don't have to have answers. It's not something that you have to know and have planned out at this point in your life. You still have a full another year of college. You still have time even after college. If you have to go back home with your family for a little bit of time in between college and grad school, or college and full-time job, or any of those kinds of things, it's okay. You don't have to have every single second of your life planned out.
I love all of those pieces of advice, and I want to piggyback on something you said on number two. I think our society is so obsessed with addition, adding stuff, adding friends, adding obligations, but we never actually are obsessed with subtraction. And that can feel so good to take a weight off of yourself, even letting go of a toxic friendship or letting go of a club or anything that's not right for you. There's such a relief that comes from that. Thank you for talking about subtraction, because we don't talk about it enough, especially in university. It's always add this. Add to your resume, add to your CV so that you can be successful, and never what can you take away so that you can be sane.
Yes, absolutely. I think that making sure that you are okay first is the most important thing, because if you're not okay in your heart and your soul and your mind, what you're doing also isn't going to be okay. So it's very important to make sure that what you're doing, you actually are obsessed with and you do actually love. Otherwise, you're just going to drain your own battery and you're not going to be doing anything anyway.
As we wrap up here, do you have any closing remarks of anything I did not ask you that you want to share?
Take one day at a time, always. Just get through the day. If you're doing something that you know you really don't want to do, you have a dentist appointment or you have a big exam that you're worried about or anything that you're just really dreading, it's one day of your life out of thousands of days, tens of thousands of days in your total life. So it's never as bad as you're going to create in your mind that it is.
And if somebody wants to hop on over, they love your vibe, they love Madison like I do, and they want to check out some of your content, where do they go?
A lot of different places. That Girl in a Blazer is definitely my biggest account that I run. I do a lot of corporate skits and I love them. And that's content that I am very proud of. So,
okay, you can head on over there and watch her skits. I'm going to be watching some of those. And I'm sure some of them would be very relatable to internship scenarios as well. So you can have a laugh with those. I want to say a big thank you for coming on, for sharing everything so candidly, so vulnerably. We're so lucky to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I love it.
And thank you so much, everyone, for joining me on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.